Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 8th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 38, the second paragraph. You may think our illustration, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will be reading the 12 steps, Cindy K. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Jordan L., Sandy W., and Darian K. The share ID for Sunday, July 7th, the special edition, is 13,123. That's 13123. And for this morning's July 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 13,124. 13124. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Reggio will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Shelley E. Cindy K., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning, everybody. This is Cindy K. from Kansas City, Missouri, recovered compulsive overeater. These are our 12 traditions. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Tradition 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Tradition 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Tradition 5, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Tradition 6, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition 7, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Tradition 9, AA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve. I pass.
And thank you, Cindy K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction of the Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 38, the second paragraph, you may think our illustration, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So, Jordan L., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater here in Gunnison, Colorado. You may think our illustration is too ridiculous, but is it? We who have been through the ringer have to admit, if we substituted alcoholism for jaywalking, the illustration would fit us exactly. However intelligent we may have been in other respects, where alcohol has been involved, we've been strangely insane. It's strong language, but isn't it true? And so, in thinking about this paragraph this morning, I've always thought the jaywalker illustration was a little bit ridiculous, just because we're talking about, like, jaywalking, which is a little bit ridiculous, for sure. But I think that Bill probably used that as an example to catch the reader's attention, would be my guess, something along those lines, because the jaywalking idea is so ridiculous, right? Like, who would be addicted to jaywalking? Who would be unable to stop jaywalking, right? But there are definitely some parallels, right? Like, there's a paragraph before this, a little bit earlier, that says something along the lines of having queer ideas of fun, right? Like, it's pretty parallel to compulsive overeating, in that compulsive overeating is a pretty queer idea of fun. You know, like, I'm like, I'm like all throughout my 20s, I'm like this 20-something-year-old who's, you know, going to school or working or whatever it is that I'm doing with my life all throughout this past decade, right? And my idea of fun is sitting at home alone with giant bags of chips and pints of ice cream. Like, that's a pretty queer idea of fun. So if I think about some of the parallels, then the illustration does fit exactly. Why would I continue to do this to myself over and over and over again, continue to burn myself, continue to gain weight, continue to get more and more isolated from the world and from what is actually fun, right? Because when I'm not overweight, like, I don't want to go out to the bars because none of the guys want to talk to me. I don't want to go skiing or do anything active because it's really hard on my body. I can barely handle it. And so I just sit and eat more instead. But anyway, that next sentence, however intelligent we may have been in other respects where alcohol has been involved, we have been strangely insane. That truly fits for sure. There's almost every other aspect of my life. Everything makes sense in it. I'm able to adapt where I need to adapt. I'm able to change where I need to change.
Fine, please.
I'll wrap it up. And compulsive overeating is it's the only aspect of my life that never got better. No matter how hard I tried, it just got worse and worse and worse. So anyway, I'm super grateful to be on the line this morning. That's all I got.
And thank you so much, Jordan L. Okay, we are on page 38, the second paragraph. You may think our illustration. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Kara L.
Deborah G.
Wendy M.
R. Hannah L.
Beverly R.
L.
Okay, I'm getting some people coming over other people. So I have Kara L., Deborah G., Wendy M., Tina L., was it Tina? I think, was it Tina L.? Okay, who else?
Cassie W.
Sandy W.
I heard Sandy W., and was it a Kathy W.?
Yes, Kathy W.
Beverly R.
Okay, and Beverly R. Okay, so let's stop there. So, excuse me, I have Kara L., I think it was Deborah G., Wendy M., Tina L., Beverly R., Sandy W., and Kathy W. So, go ahead, Kara L.
Good morning, everyone. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I am so glad that it's Monday morning and I get to be on the phone with all of you. And hear your voices this morning. I love this paragraph. You may think our illustration too ridiculous, and I don't know, when it comes to me and my food and the things I've done with food and even, you know, my behaviors, the things I've done with my behaviors, if we substituted compulsive overeating for jaywalking, the illustration would fit us exactly. Definitely, definitely. And the identity, I think, is one of the parts is like, you know, yes, yeah, you know, it's, I'm identifying here. I'm identifying in. I am saying, yes, I am. And then it says, this is strong language, but isn't it true? Yeah, it is true, you know, and how do I'm a smart person, right? My life seems to be together. I have a family. I have a thing. Why couldn't I stop eating? Why, you know, I got up every morning and I ate my diet breakfast and then I continued to eat throughout the whole entire day. And I had good resolve every morning. And what I love about this is that there's an analogy I've heard on the lines of, you know, my will is my battery pack. It's got so much power in it and it can take me through a little bit. And then at some point, I'm going to run out of power. And I have to plug into the wall. I'm going to have to recharge. And that's my higher power. I have to plug in. I have to recharge so that I can do things. And it was never so much pointed out to me as over the last couple of days where I had a difficult amends to make. And I was struggling, and it was hard, and I finally had to get to the point, you know, what lesson did I learn? And my higher power said, I will provide a moment. And a moment was provided. And I'm so grateful. And those are the examples throughout my day. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'm ridiculous when it comes to my food. I am. And no matter how intelligent I am in other respects, when it comes to my food and emotional sobriety and things like that, I don't have the power. I have to continue to ask my higher power. I have to continue to plug into that wall. I have to continue with everything, every moment. It got down to on this amends of every interaction I had with this person, my higher power told me, ask for direction before the interaction. And I did, and it worked out, and I'm ever so grateful. So welcome to the newcomers, and so happy to hear from everybody that's coming up. Have a wonderful day, everyone. I'll pass.
And thank you, Kara L. Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Wendy M.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, compulsive overeater. And I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning, and it feels so good to be connected, because for so many years, I went to my head, my own head, for the solution, which only repeated that cycle again and again and again. And I'm in the disease, again, going to my head, thinking, I can do this, and I can, again, it was just a vicious, vicious circle, and never could get out. And it wasn't until I discovered that I don't need a head solution here, I need a spiritual solution. And that spiritual solution for me is going through the steps and living the steps and taking others through the steps. And I'm in step one right now, and I'm seeing all these times where I've gone to my head, you know, where I got disconnected, separated from that power in step two and went to the food. And all those little things that I would say into my thinking that I justify, minimize, rationalize, you know, an insidiousness of this disease. And I'm so grateful that I am reconnecting and feeling that presence and having that experience. And I'm having that with all of you. You know, I don't have to do this alone, because I need to be reminded with that head, that thinking that I have, what is the spiritual solution? I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you all for all your shares, and thank you for being of service.
And thank you, Deborah G. Wendy M., you're up next, and I think it might be Sarah L., not Tina L. So, Wendy M., go ahead, please. I know I heard a Wendy. Did I get the wrong Wendy? Okay. Sarah L., was it you that put your name in?
Yeah, no.
Oh, wait, there's Wendy. There's Wendy. Sorry. Okay, go ahead, Wendy.
So thanks, moderator, for your service, everybody on the line. Thank you, God, for the program. So the way it's going to work for me is I'm such a liar. I'm in such denial that and my disease, you know, works when I'm in denial. My disease works when I'm lying to myself. And it turns out I have to continue to lie to myself to fuel the addiction. And it takes something like the Jaywalker story to kind of disrupt the lie, yeah. And the truth of the matter is, I have to be pretty mangled, pretty much in despair, pretty much not working for me to even recognize that. Yes, in fact, it does fit me to a T. The Jaywalker story gets my attention, and it has to be bad enough. The disease has to be bad enough for me to actually be willing to recognize that. And when they talk about strangely insane, I don't know, insane is pretty strange to begin with, but strangely insane, you know, is for me, it's once my fix, once the food or whatever addiction I'm doing doesn't work and I continue to use it, I continue with the disease, that's the insanity. Like knowing intellectually, this is not working, I know it's not working, and I'm going to go, jaywalk anyways. I'm going to do it anyways, hoping against hope that the fix will work and someday I'll be able to conquer this thing, you know. I'll be able to jump in front of a trolley car, and I'll be okay, you know. But these examples have to be extreme, and I have to be willing to say yes, this is the case. And I just want to share that lately, what's working for me is things like, oh yeah, I came from a childish kind of place, right? Being in an addiction is I want it now, and I want more of it, and that's kind of a child place. And lately what's working is a sense of what would it look like if I was an adult? Like what would it look like if I had conscious contact with a higher power and I was actually treating myself and others with respect, you know? And another thing that I heard, and so that's helpful because it's like, oh, that's different. That's taking responsibility for my life. And therefore taking responsibility for how I treat you and other people as well as the food. And how willing am I willing to do this? Well, again, for me, things got really badly mangled lately and so bad that I became very willing. You know, it's like my way, my program, Wendy's program, Wendy's way just isn't working anymore. And thank God. Thank God I'm not chasing or running, you know, into the street at the moment. And somebody else said something interesting. If it's about God, then it's not about me. Yeah, I just finished with, and so if it's not about me, that's the great news. It doesn't have to be about me today, whatever it is, food, people, places, and things. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Wendy. Okay, Sarah L., was that you that was chiming in?
It's Sarit L., did you call me?
Oh, Sarit L. Okay. Sarit L. So you're next, and Beverly R., you'll follow her. So go ahead, Sarit.
Okay, thanks. I'm just unmuting. I didn't know if you caught me, so I appreciate that. It's Sarit L. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Montreal over here, and everyone is just sharing so beautifully and touching on the points that I wanted to share, but I'm just going to continue because there's nothing new in these first 164 pages, and it's all about our experience and how do I relate in. So what I wanted to speak about, piggybacking on everyone else, is these really to pick out these words that Bill uses here is queer ideas of fun and strangely insane, and the illustration is too ridiculous. And I find that it's using here words that are extreme, that are, and what it shouts at me, how I hear it, is that I am different. This is something queer and strange and ridiculous. And I hear it shouting at me. This book is telling me I am a different person. I react abnormally to food. And how so? Because I seek comfort in the food. The food is my answer to my problems. And while others are seeking nutrition or fuel or anything, you know, beneficial from the food, I don't do that. I don't do that. And that's where I am different. And so however intelligent I have been in other respects, I'm insane where it comes to my food. And for me, it's not only am I not intelligent with the food, because even with all the bad consequences, I still turn to it. But I even feel, and Wendy touched on this, that even I still feel that I came in and I'm learning. I came in as an immature baby, and I'm learning how to be not just intelligent in other areas, social, family, relationships, business, but how to act the right way, how to act like a mature adult. And so it's like even if I have the intelligence in my brain, but to be able to do the right thing, I know it's not good to lie right now. I just hid wrappers inside the bag of clothing. I know that I shouldn't be lying and cheating and stealing money, and yet I was still doing that. And I know that I shouldn't be gossiping, but yet I'm still doing that. So in regards to the food and in regards to life, I was acting like a baby. And even if I knew the right thing and if I did have the intelligence, I wasn't able to act like that. And the big book touches upon that when they say, you know, I can wish to be philosophical, I can wish to be moral. That doesn't help. My wishing didn't help. But what does help is these 12 steps that change me from within so that now I can know with my intelligence what the right thing is to do and act upon that and take the right action. We act ourselves into right thinking today with these steps. And so with that, I'll pass. Hi, thanks so much.
Great. Thank you, Sarit. Okay, Beverly R., you're up next, followed by Sandy W.
Hello, can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Hello, my name is Beverly R. from Gaithersburg, Maryland, Eastern Standard Time. And I remember when I was in the throes of my addiction, I would be going from pastry shop to pastry shop buying pastry. And there was a time when I would sit down every evening to eat like gallons of my favorite binge food and a lot of stuff like that. And then I tried a lot of different things to help me to get rid of my addiction. And then in the end, I found myself eating constantly right around the clock. And another thing I noticed, it was like I was a 2-year-old saying, I can do it myself. And I, me, mine. And that was me before I found OA. And that's all I have to say now. Again, it's Beverly from Gaithersburg, Maryland. Thank you for listening.
And thank you, Beverly R. So Sandy W., you're up next, followed by Kathy W.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. Thanks for your service. This is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. You know, like many have said, I so absolutely thought the example of the jaywalker was ridiculous when I first read it. You know, prior to this, when we read about Jim I could relate to easily. Of course, I would stop for a sandwich and end up eating two. And back in my day, I certainly was known for putting Kahlua into my coffee, probably on more than one occasion. But, you know, I was even convinced at one time, as related to my food addiction, that if I ate enough protein with my sugar, it wouldn't impact me the same way, similar to Jim's story. You know, I'm sure that's probably true in terms of spiking blood sugar levels, but it certainly did not decrease any spiking of my cravings for more sugar because I had the allergy and it had been triggered. You know, but jaywalking that caused such physical pain and suffering, you know, at first I just could not see where that, how that related to me, you know, because as the paragraph says, I thought I was reasonably intelligent. You know, I did add that word reasonably because I wanted to be fully honest, but I figured I had at least enough intelligence not to walk into traffic. But, you know, now as I read it and as all of you have helped me understand it, I see so many similarities between myself and the jaywalker because, you know, that downward spiral of our disease brought me so much pain and suffering as it does so many of us. You know, that physical pain of eating so much food and then that sugar hangover the next day and the emotional torment of wanting to stop but not finding power within myself or from others to be able to stop the agony, and then coupled with all the guilt and the shame and the humiliation and the isolation, you know, it's as I totally understand it now and identify with the jaywalker, you know, really 100%. You know, even though I don't have a physical allergy to jaywalking or, in my case, drugs or alcohol, you know, give me a piece of cake and I am off and running. And, you know, same thing with the mental obsession. It doesn't, I'm not driven back to those items, those substances or those activities, not like I am to my alcoholic foods and behaviors. I'm just, you know, the same, but with a different substance or behavior. And just as those addictions need a power greater than human power to remove them, so does mine. And I'm just so grateful that this book and these steps have taken me to the point of finding that power. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Sandy W. So before we get to Kathy W., just a reminder, we're on page 38, the second paragraph, You May Think, Our Illustration. And I'll be taking more names after Kathy. So go ahead, please, Kathy W.
Good morning. This is Kathy W. from Denver, Colorado. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've just now started reading the Big Book. And when I got to this, honestly, I hope it's not disrespectful, but I was like, Bill W., are you serious? This is so stupid. But, like, is it, though? Like, as an addict, I think it's part of the clinical definition that we're, like, highly intelligent beings. And, like, the jaywalker, it's just so stupid. Like, he walks into traffic, and he keeps getting hurt, and people keep telling him that, like, don't do that, you're going to get hurt. And, like, he's even hospitalized, and it's, like, logic should kick in, like, don't do that, you're going to get hurt, you're going to die, and, like, it's the same thing with the food, though, because, like, people can try to appeal to me all day. Like, you're going to get diabetes. You're going to reach a weight that you really, really don't want to be at, or, like, hospitalized for whatever various ailments I've heard of. And I still, like, go back to the food, and it's just plain stupid. And, like, I'm grateful that there is a solution, and the book, like, spells it out to, like, stop the stupid, like, stop the mental twist, to stop the insanity. It's spelled out here in the books with the 12 steps that if you follow the steps, you probably still have the insanity, and that hurts, and it sucks to try to, like, accept that, but, like, there's a way to combat it, and there's a way to try to fight it. And so I'm grateful to be on the line and hear, like, all the recovered people, and I hope my stupid stops someday soon. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Kathy W. So, who else would like to share on the second paragraph on page 38?
Sure.
Irene.
Laura R.
Clara G.
Rachel. Irene.
Okay, the only ones I heard, hold on, you're all coming in over each other. I heard Irene and Sarah G. Who else?
Laura R.
I heard a Lance.
Laura
F.
Oh, you guys are
Judith.
Coming in over each other.
Cheryl F.
And
Judith R.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I have Irene, Clara G, Lance, Cheryl F, and Judith R. Let's stop there. So go ahead, Irene.
Good morning, and thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., a recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with 27 months of abstinence, and ever so grateful for that. I love this paragraph because, actually, the whole story, I couldn't relate to any of it the first time that I read it, and as I have become more sane over the months of sobriety, I see that this applies to me totally and completely. And in my perspective, or from my perspective, it is not crazy at all. It makes perfect sense, because this has to do with the obsession of the mind that keeps us wanting to look for the answer where the answer is not. And I have been dealing with this very faulty way of coping with life, coping with my feelings for years and years and years. And I learned that when I felt bad, food made me feel good. It gave me that sense of ease and comfort. So it's not crazy that we keep going back to this, because in the short term, the food does wonderful things for me, things that I cannot do on my own. And I try to, on my own, overcome my thinking. And when I say on my own, I don't mean on my own. When I say on my own, I mean with treatment centers, inpatient, outpatient, therapists, psychiatrists, recreational therapists, dietitians, and with all that help, over $1 million spent in therapy, and I still was not able to solve the problem of the twist of the mind. But praise be to God for OA, that with the program, it gives me the solution, and it's very simple but difficult. I need to connect to my higher power because of my own, and I don't mean me all by myself. I mean me and a team of trained professionals. That's not enough. I needed God. I needed God to soothe my pain, to give me the power to make the right decision. And I thank God for the program that gives me the solution. And I don't have to be a prisoner of my thoughts as long as I stay connected to the power. Thank you so much with that outcast.
Thank you, Irene B. Clara G., you're up next, followed by Lance. Clara, was that you that I heard?
I'm sorry, I was muted. Yeah, this is Clara G. I'm from Wisconsin, and I have been in OA for a year and a half, and I was not eating sugar, artificial sweeteners, and white flour. And I was working the steps, and I had a relapse. And I'm sorry. I got like a new bottom because I was completely desperate. You know, it's like if OA doesn't work, that's it. You know, that's it for me. And I didn't stop connecting, trying to connect with my higher power and asking for help. And sorry. It was through listening to special vision of somebody in vision that my higher power illuminated me that I am addicted to added salt and I have to give it up. And if I wanted to really be free of obsessions and free of craving and free of compulsive eating, my food plan, because I would eat my salads like obsessively, like compulsively. And I would think like, but this doesn't seem like, you know, abstinent. And of course it wasn't, because I was still eating something that was addicted to me. And I have been free of added salt for 2 days. And it's like an amazing miracle. I am so excited, so happy, so like incredibly grateful to God. I have no obsession for food, no cravings, and I am not eating my food compulsively. I mean, it's like my little portions. Oh, that's another thing, that my portions, I can become compulsive eating anything, even a vegetable, a zucchini, if I eat it more than what is the portion. It becomes a craving food for me. So that's another thing that this time around, I am getting it. So I cannot have any sweet in my mouth either, not even if it comes from a fruit, not even if it comes from a toothpaste. So it's like this amazing, illuminations came to me now. And I feel like so excited because it's like, okay, I am going to be able to have a good life. I am going to be able to be happy. I believe, because I always believe the thing that you are free of the addicted foods and then you will be free, but I couldn't get it why I wasn't. And it was because I was still eating added salt, and that was bad. And also I was still brushing my teeth with toothpaste, and I was still overdoing the serving sizes on the vegetables. So I wanted to share that with you because it's been like amazing for me to this past 10 years, actually. Okay, well, with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Clara G. Okay, so Lance, you are up next, followed by Cheryl S. And Lance, what's the first initial of your last name, please?
It's L.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Lance L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in California, and you know, where food has been involved, I've been strangely insane. And you know, like, it's very clear that before I got on to A Vision for You and started working this program out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that was apparent in every inch of my life. But how about in recovery? You know, I started thinking about how insane I am over food in recovery. I mean, I'm a clean eater. You know, I follow a nutritionist. I don't miss a meal. But, I mean, what happens when I do have to miss a meal? Well, all life stops. You know, I have to get that meal in. And what happens if I don't get that meal in? Well, I start getting into fear. Fear of when that next meal is going to come. Fear of how I'm going to react to it. Fear of relapse. You know, all these ideas come in my head as soon as I miss one of those clean eating meals. And you know, we have to remember that, you know, there is sanity here in this program. And if I'm putting all of my effort and all of my focus and everything into my eating, that's not what this is designed to do. You know, we have a step two that we talk about, leaning on a higher power, leaning on a higher power to restore me to sanity. You know, because in that moment where I do miss a meal and where I can't eat, I have something. You know, left to my own devices, I have nothing. I have nothing. And my emotions build up. I start thinking about different ways to manipulate the situation, to strategize around it, and I eventually go insane. And when I go insane, I think of getting relief. Leaning on that step two, coming to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, leaning on God is what I do in that moment. You know, meditation and prayer in that moment where I can't eat. And, you know, life happens. You know, life is not about eating only. But even in recovery, I think that. I think that if I don't eat, then it's over. And, you know, it's wonderful that this program is revealing itself as you work it. You know, I can sit here and get education from all of the top scholars in Alcoholics Anonymous and Overeaters Anonymous. I can get it all. But if I'm not putting things into action, it's really of no use. I learn through my own experience, and I learn as I grow closer to God. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you, Lance L. So, Cheryl S., you're up next, followed by Judith R. Cheryl S., star 1 to unmute, please.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much, moderator. Thank you all for your shares and bringing this meeting this morning. You know, when I first read this about the jaywalker, I'm very fond of this this short story, because when I think back, when I remember first reading it, I could identify. So it was not ridiculous to me at all. And I relate it so well. And as time has passed, I relate even more. You know, not this time, Cheryl. You won't do it this time. I got it this time. Spending my money, eating my food, dating the wrong people, marrying the wrong guy, you name it. And, you know, my food, oh, my God. You know, I'm not going to eat that sugar. Maybe just a tiny bit. You know, no, it's not ridiculous at all to me. You know, the good news for me today is that I understand where it all started, the origination of that mental twist. It took me a long time to get to the point of learning why I am and who I am, and that it is not my fault. It's my responsibility, but not my fault. You know, my childhood trauma, my dad, the alcoholic, my mom, the rageaholic, I got it. I'm learning all about that now. And now that I'm here and I got it, I am a jaywalker for sure. I tell you what was the struggle for me. The struggle was accepting it, thinking that I could, it was just too much work and that I could handle it on my own. And anyway, and besides, you know, that's just ridiculous, higher power. I don't need all of that. Let me focus over here a little bit, and I'll get back to that. And every time I do that, I lose my way. And I think about on page 85 where it says it's very easy to let up on our spiritual plan of action. Very easy. And that it takes daily practice for me to retrain my mind, because truly I have that mental twist, that mental phenomenon. So today it is so much more clear to me, where once before I tried to fight it or didn't understand it, or not for everybody. Oh, that's just for the person that drinks alcohol. That's not my problem. Mm-mm. My food, my spending, my relationships, I'm a compulsive person. I am an addict, and I accept that today. And I know today I also accept that I have to practice that these principles in all my affairs every single day. I can't pray for balance to my higher power, and then I'll wrap it up there, and then not have a plan of action to support that. Thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Cheryl S. Judith R., you are up next.
Thanks, Kathleen. Judith R., gratefully recovered in Vermont. I just this morning, I realized I literally am a jaywalker. I can't stand having to go to the corner and press the thing and wait for the light to change. Don't people know that I'm Judith Reichsman and I get to go where I want to go when I want to go? I can't be waiting. No, I can't pause. Well, thanks be to God, I'm learning to pause. But my natural state is I wake up in the morning, I'm wound up, and I go all day, and my body doesn't like to stop. So I do jaywalk all the time. Anytime I can get away with it, I do it. And I've lived in places where you can get arrested for that. And here in Vermont, I don't think you can. But I really didn't put two and two together and go, I literally am a jaywalker. The other thing I'm thinking is that When I think about all the foods that are tempting me, I think, well, 100 years ago, they didn't have all this candy and baked goods in a convenience store. You had to make it yourself. And then today when I was listening, I thought, you know, if we were cavemen sitting around a fire and somebody wanted to eat all the meat, that would destroy the community if somebody did that behind everybody else's back. And it's just wild that we're in a society now where we have all these options that make us crazy, and we also have a God who uncrazies us. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Jordan. Judith R. And I'd like to thank everyone who shared this morning. Really great shares. Thank you so much. A great meeting. And a special thanks to Team Monday, Shelly E., Cindy K., Jordan L., Sandy W., Darian K., Kaylee R., Reggie O., and all the amazing people in the background who keep this meeting running strong and smoothly. Thank you so much, everyone. So we are now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Sandy W., would you please read A Vision for You?
Thanks, Kathleen. I'd love to. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you can find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.